Everybody, and welcome to my presentation today. I am Michael Filigera. I am with LogicalSignals.com. And this morning, I would like to just talk about how I trade futures and what I feel is important in determining if that's going to be correct for you. The title that I gave today's presentation is Removing the Human Factor is Not Total in Trading in Day Trading Futures. And what I mean by that is that currently all the markets are basically traded quantitatively with and not so much fundamentally. So you're going to hear people that are talking about whether somebody is bullish or bearish, et cetera, et cetera. And I think because it's quantitative, and what I mean by that is that everything is basically, and I wish I could turn that noise off, but unfortunately, it's a part of a system. In any case, being quantitatively traded is that there are many, many, many algorithms operating at all times. And I am basically, my trading career started as a options market maker here on the Pacific Exchange. And when we learned how to trade, because we were making markets for public and other institutions to come in and trade, we basically learned too that we were contrarian traders. Somebody came in to buy, we were the seller. If you came in to sell, we were the buyer. So keeping that in mind, when I shifted over to trade futures, I started to really think to myself, this is not working. Being a contrarian trader is going to kill you. Then as I progressed further, I realized that there were so many algorithms working at all times within all markets that it really was impossible to kind of trade against that. So I realized that I was just a small fish in a very large pond. And I needed to really start saying to myself, if you can't beat them, you gotta join them. And that really means is that I need to begin to trade more quantitatively and with algorithms. And because a trader has emotions, and emotions can interrupt the decision process by hesitating. So a computer, on the other hand, doesn't hesitate. They have their marching orders and they execute them. As traders, we need to understand that there are a myriad of algorithms in operation, firing off orders at all times, conceivably in all markets. So that hopefully gets a little bit of a picture, which is pretty large. So my saying is that to be successful in trading, you really can't care about the who, what, where, when, or why. Remember, it's only a number, speaking quantitatively. And many relevant numbers are being processed simultaneously and disseminated to massive amounts of servers across the world, operating algorithms written by MIT graduates, for example. So the amount of dollars flying around the world in need of a temporary resting place is quite substantial. And at the moment, the sheer volumes bring opportunities, some will say come every 50 years or every few years. And right now, we're into a political season, so to speak. And that in and of itself is going to have an effect on our markets. So I try not to have an opinion of the markets that I choose to trade. And for the most part, I've stopped thinking about the necessity to understand what fair value for an underlying should or shouldn't be. So I think of cents instead of dollars and the probability and random variable theory as measured by volatility. So add to this of what I really do believe what we're doing now, because of the current movements in the market, is that we really become volatility traders. And volatility is our friend because it in turn just really gives us these moves that we see here. We got to move there, we got to move down, and the market's now finding its ground. So what I have discussed previously in other times in other meetings is that anticipating versus participating becomes heavily favored towards participating. And so many times we have, you want to trade futures, and we come into the market and we're all ready, but we're like, oh God, we got this thing telling me in the background, swing short. I should be entering this trade. Do I do it? Do I pull the trigger? Boom, the trade's over. So you can see that this already happened. And that's what participating versus anticipating really becomes into play there. So it is not easy to just step into a market that you haven't traded before based purely on computer generated signals. I get that. But when you're trading in tune with volatile price swings, the rewards are extremely, extremely profitable. So they're really good. Like right now, we're going to be waiting here to see, are we going to get a signal, a buy signal that's going to really move the market? So let me just give you a little bit of what charts I've got set up here. And right now, most of the time, I trade with a 2-minute screen in view. And here we can see it here. And then I have this, a Unirenco chart, which is right now set on 4/20/10 as the readings. And that often will give me the quicker signal that I'm looking for if I begin to see that a buy or a sell is in order. Right now, we're seeing that the very short-term trend is down. That's what's happening here. And I've not gotten a signal via my moving averages, as you can see in these different lines here, that I should be buying or sell or buying. So right now, it's to remain short, even though I'm going to get all of these other little ticks, which are set up with a Fibonacci sequence of numbers, and to give me buy and sell. Now, you're not going to want to take every single signal, because that's why I'm going to look over here to see where and what this is telling me in terms of what's the direction of the market right now. Now, again, 2-minute chart, that can change every 2 minutes, obviously. So I also keep a 5-minute chart handy, and then you always can reference a 30-minute chart, a 60-minute chart. So these give you that time frame that is going to help you to really determine where's the trend on an hourly basis, where's the trend on a short-term cycle, and that's going to help you trade. And when I realize that I can run an algorithm, that's going to take the decision process away from me, and that's going to take the human factor out of the equation. Now, when I say it's not total, it truly isn't, because we have to remember that there are going to be times when a computer's not going to know to trade, and it's just going to get chopped around, and I don't want to lose money. So that's what I mean by removing the human factor is not total in our trading. So you make a decision that you want to be a futures trader, and you want to start day trading, because you honestly can see that there are good money to be made in day trading futures. So I'm going to move this chart over and show you how I basically have got things set up. This is the S&P, but I'm going to go over here. This is my algorithm, and I have this algorithm set up to trade in the NASDAQ on a 2-minute basis. And the algorithm is basically also set up using a Fibonacci number sequence, and that's going to guide me and get me into long or short. As we can see now, I am continuing to be short, and the algorithm shorted it up here at 96.25, and I shorted 2 contracts, and I set my profit targets. The first one was hit here, and the second one was hit here. So right now I'm flat, and that particular trade earned $545. So I participated. Now, you might say, well, why did you get out and miss all of this? And the fact is that I did based on what I felt the normal move is. So I kind of try to average where the moves are, and then I can set my profit targets. But that doesn't mean that I could not have re-entered an order. When you can see that the market has not finished going down, and we're going to continue to see downside action, you can, on my algorithm, you can go in and you can reshort it again. But right now, we're basically now beginning to look like we should begin to see markets are a little bit oversold right here, and we have a possibility that we're going to rally a little bit. So I'm going to wait to get signals. And on this one, we have our various moving averages. And those are also used across the board by many different algorithms. And they will generate buy and sell orders just because the computer is programmed to do it. So what I really feel is important to put together for yourself when you are trading futures is that, and you want to really move over and do it as your profession. So as your number one job would be trading in the futures markets. And I got to check one thing because I don't have somebody really. Let me just stop for a second and I will put in. So Mark is asking, what software am I using? This is the software on the algorithm is my own personal software that I had written for me. The software behind all this is NinjaTrader. And Amy had asked, is that the NinjaTrader platform? The answer is yes. It is absolutely the NinjaTrader platform. And I'm just going to close that out and I'll check that again in a second. So I think that when you begin to trade, anytime you're stepping in and trading, that you should have a business plan. When you step in and you're going to try to be a professional trader, like anything, you're now entering and operating a business, and you should have a business plan. Once you have your business plan put put together, you're going to want to implement that plan, and you're going to want to have a signal generator. So you're not just blindly coming in on your own volition and saying, well, I think this is going to go up, so I'm going to buy it. And meanwhile, you get slaughtered. And so you kind of have to have some type of a system where you're going to use it that's going to generate when you step in and when you get out of an order. Now, the third thing that I think is very, very important, in fact, it might even move up on the list, is that you need to have a risk profile. So again, many people want to day trade futures, and they are allowed to come in, for example, and trade with a $5,000 account or a $10,000 account. And to be honest with you, that's a small account. Now, to us, you know, average Joes out there trying to make a buck, $5,000 is a chunk of change. $10,000 is an even bigger chunk of change. And when you're really talking about coming in and trading futures, you're trading against people that have accounts of millions of dollars. So when they come in and step in to move the market, they're just coming in and doing it. And that, if you don't have a risk profile in place, could really knock you out of the pool. For example, I'm just going to take this trade here that I am now short the market. You can see that my trail, because I always have a stop in place. It's just too important. So now my stop has now moved me where I'm profitable. So I can just let this trade run and my stop is trailing it down. So as the market comes back up, boom. So now that trade earned me another $150. So, and I had traded earlier. So that's why you're seeing this. And this is on top of where I have my other algorithm running. This is in the same account. So here again, I traded a continuation of the downside, but I used it on a different screen connected to the same account. So I can let this one operate all on its own and then trade on the side as I do. Again, do we think that the market is ready to go up? It's not showing me. So let's see again. If we get this, all right, I'm going to take that. Now again, you see my stop. So all I am risking on this trade, which took me out and gave me a buy signal, but oh, now I'm back in. And let's see if this earns me some money or will it come back down? If it does, I will take the sell because I believe that the market will then produce a winning trade versus being stopped out. But in the meantime, I'm going to get out here, take my profit, now wait for the next trade. Now, in all honesty, because I'm looking at a pattern and my pattern's telling me, I got three down, then three up, I should come back down to finish the whole pattern. Algorithms don't always do that, which is why, again, I say that we really need to operate with risk parameters. So people say, well, sometimes they have a mental stop and, you know, and that's what I do. Now, again, I put an order in and it may not work. It may work. We're going to see, and we're going to see it. Just the market just is ready to kind of sit sideways. So let's see if it'll kind of move down. And we are in a no lose situation, which we just got stopped out again. Now, you always have the opportunity where you can go in and just take your profit and go there if it's what you have, you know, in mind. So if your profit target per trade is $100 or $200 and you see it happen before you get your next signal, well, then you take your profit. So again, having a risk profile includes having a profit profile and also having where are you going to say, I'm wrong and I'm going to get out of that trade. Because there's so many times you'll get a move like this, and this is all being generated because there are baskets of stock being pushed through the market. And that happens all day long. And right now, they're buyers. They're coming in, they're buying. And these might be from portfolio managers, hedge fund managers, and they're all sitting there and they're going to push through these buy orders at this moment. So I'm sure that you've also seen online or you're getting email from people that have designed what might be considered a market timing. So what these algorithms are basically telling you is that historically, this has been a period of buyers. So it notifies you that buyers are going to be moving into the market and for maybe the next 10 minutes or 15 minutes. And so you're really going to be able to set yourself up for that because you can be in. I don't use those. Some people that maybe have the ability to have a footprint chart can show you, what the intensity of the buyers are. Are they aggressive buyers? Does it end in what some people would call a trap? You know, they're trapping buyers or trapping sellers at the end of a particular move. And that's always another key as to when you want to buy or sell and react to those. So again, what I'm trying to just put out there for everybody is there are hundreds of algorithms that are operating at all times in our markets, in the individual stocks, in the indexes, in bonds, in crude, in gold, all across the board. And those computers are programmed to do particular trades. And when that opportunity or discrepancy between prices shows up, boom, the computer reacts, the trade's done. And so that's what I mean by don't take a position like, well, I'm bullish or I'm bearish. What I will say in terms of being bullish or bearish, you don't want to buy the trend. And so when the market has established a trend for the day, you kind of want to stick with it until it's evident through your moving averages, through your support and resistance lines, that that trend has been broken. So right now, my trend indicator, which unfortunately is on a different computer, is telling me the market is sideways. And so it's really now trading, and right now, a pretty large range, because we have, 95.10 as the high this morning. So just prior to the market opening, the market raced up to 95.10, and then it started to make a downside. So we're now just trying to determine, when is this going to be over? You might look here at my 4/20/10 chart and say, looks like it's over. But look at that move. This is the move itself, that all of this is right here. It doesn't look all that big. Now, if we put it in perspective of dollar move, that's a $30 move, 30 NASDAQ dollars. And if you're basically had gotten in here and you were selling out here, let's say you can get pretty close to $30. $30 times $20 a point. Now you can figure out what your profit or loss could be. So there is a great deal of money to be made in the NASDAQ, in the Dow, and in the S&P, which is the ES, day trading futures. And you're not taking an opinion. You're bullish or bearish, you'll play both sides. So that's why I say that, removing the human element is going to be your best bet. Because if you've been trading for any time, you realize that most of the time, markets are set up to be bullish are set up to be bullish. And to be bullish is happy. Everything's great. Everything's running on all cylinders. Things are perfect, blah, blah, blah. That's not always true. I've seen rallies that are nothing more than short covering rallies. There's nothing happy about that. You got people that are having to cover shorts and they're not happy about losing money. So I hate to tag something to say, you always have to be bullish because that's a positive sign. No, I think sometimes being bearish can be very positive and extremely profitable. And I think a lot of people might agree with me on that one. Now, adding back into all of this, there are a couple of things that, because we're human beings and because we have emotions, that the market is going to really pound into your head. And if you can get in sync with the market moves, and that's trying to stay open to what the market's telling you, is that you will buy it when you're supposed to, you're going to sell it because you're just in sync, and the markets are in sync. So in other words, they're following your specific strategies, which might be to enter on breaks of Fibonacci support and resistance or moving averages. And again, remember, these are all numbers. So you're trading quantitatively versus fundamentally. Just to emphasize that point, fundamentally, if we had to compare what we know is really happening right now, you'd have to sit and think, why is the NASDAQ at 94.53? Why is Amazon making new all-time highs? I mean, Amazon traded above $2,500 this morning. Well, it's based on the fact that everybody thinks that Amazon will continue to just be this powerhouse, at which they have been, being able to deliver everything we need during this pandemic and during, for the most part, our stay-at-home orders, which are pretty much broad across the country. This has really gone against what we know fundamentally is happening. But a lot of that is because, we've got promise of a vaccine. We have promise of treatments for coronavirus. We have all this information about, the stock market is usually 6 months in advance. And if that was the case, I'd have to tell you, I think the market should be down. So we got a lot of factors kind of coming in that I really don't want to take on. I know personally what I think is going to happen to the economy, because I think that as we move back into opening our local economies and the state economies and then by default, the federal economies, I think we have no idea what that new normal is going to be. I think that we all can really determine that going back to normal as the way it was isn't going to happen. It can't, because too much has occurred for it to just flip a switch and go back, okay, we're back to normal. Everybody come on back out and rejoin. It's too much damage has been done. And that damage has been done to us as people within the economy. And then thus, it's also been done to companies. And so I don't think that an accurate measure of that has really been established yet, nor will we know knowing. Now you can see that my algorithm went in and got long here at 63.75. We're just going to let this trade run at the moment and see if there's, if we will get the follow through that we're looking for here. Now this trade will stay on and will be taken out if the market comes back down and hits the level which would force the sell. So we're just going to hold out and we're going to see. Now I've already got my profit targets and the market may just rally up here. Again, the algorithm stays in the order. It has no idea. Like, oh my God, they're starting to sell. Now, should I get out? Should I stay in? These are all human emotions. And that's why I sometimes like the algorithm. Because if I was long over here at that price, first of all, I'd have been like, no way. I am not getting long at 63.75. When I'm like, this is telling me we're going to pull back. The 2-minute chart is telling me we still have time. So what's your fix here? Am I fixed on this because I'm going to be one out of that trade and I'm going to sell it? But no, I'm going to hang on and see, because this tells me let the pullback happen and see if you're going to get another leg up, which is another strategy, which I'll tell you about in just a moment. So again, one of the important lessons that I've also learned in day trading futures is humility. And I'm just going to kind of share that I really do believe that humility is a learned virtue. So there are going to be days when our markets are going to be overwhelmed by an extreme flood of data flowing in and out. And that type of day produces sudden and extreme volatility. And sometimes when that volatility happens, you're going to see the markets move in 50, $60, $70. Amy, I'll be right with you on that question. And so as I was saying, the markets will swing in $50, $60, $70, $80. And I've seen that in the NASDAQ. So we need to be ready. And when this happens, there are times, particularly in crude oil, when they're doing the EIA, that the market will just paint 50 bars all at once because there's that much going on. There's that many algorithms firing off buys and sells, and it just goes crazy. Sometimes you'll see that at the end of the day where a bunch of algorithms are just throwing in the buys, throwing in the sells, and the market just goes zip, 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 because these are market orders. The one thing I really hate to do is put in a market order for a large amount of futures as a market order, because boy, your computer's going to do exactly what you just asked it to. And you could get totally, totally annihilated. And remember, the idea is to make money, not to lose money. But we also have to remember, you can't always have a winning trade. There are winning trades or losing trades all the time. We just saw that I did a few, but we try to keep that into a risk reward factor. And so if you're getting beat up and chopped around, your risk reward just got totally skewed. And if we're trying to keep it at least a 2-to-1, if I'm going to risk $50, I want to make 100. If I'm risking 100, I want to make 200. If I'm risking 500, I need to make $1,000 on trade. So that's kind of what I like to set up. Now, you get all your tools together, you put everything together, and then you decide you're going to sit down and trade. And the first thing that happens is you get knocked out of the pool because one part of your equation, one part of your plan failed you. So that's why I also have to include what is your daily drawdown where you're just going to stop. There are people that they just don't get that number. In most cases, I like to use $1,000 because if I'm going to go down $1,000, something's not in sync. Most likely, it's going to be me, or the market is just chopping, moves up, moves down, moves up, is down, moves up, is down. And that is not going to produce winning trades. So it gets interesting. Okay. So I'm going to remember, Mark, that your question is to, if I'm using the Fibonacci sequence with stochastics, please indicate and explain. It's not necessarily with stochastics. With stochastics, I use this one is just a straight stochastic, but I use it on a momentum as well, stochastics momentum. So that one. You might see it because of the numbers. Those are not a Fibonacci sequence. You can put it into a Fibonacci sequence. And for example, use 8, 4, 13, and 3, or 9, 3, 9. You can put in your own. I'm waiting here. I'm looking at this trade because this trade, you could say, oh, how far does it have to go down? Well, pretty far. But that's because I'm expecting the market should continue higher, and maybe it will, maybe it won't. If it goes too much further, it's going to short us down here at the bottom, and then I'll see. But it's likely going to take away all of the profit we've had thus far. So we're going to see. Graham, you were asking, is the trail a parabolic SAR? No, it's actually an ATR. You can see right there, it's an ATR. My multiplier is a Fibonacci number, 1.382. And well, this is going pretty far. You would think I'm going to lose over 40 points. So we're going to see. And Amy, just to answer your question on which other markets do I prefer to trade, The E-minis, the NASDAQ, you're welcome. The E-mini, the NASDAQ, the Dow, crude oil, and gold. Those are my main ones that I'll trade. I have attempted at times to go into Forex futures, and it just hasn't worked out all that well for me. Believe it or not, this is still a, I'm actually going to turn off my short. Oops, I want to turn off my short right now because I think the market will turn in my direction. Again, this is me making a decision and not an algorithm. So we'll see if that benefits me or not. Back to my humility, because what will happen is, and it might happen right here in front of us, when you have to become very humble in the markets, and without it, you're just going to get rolled over. Because here, I'm basically describing that I think that we probably should have a bullish day, and the market has done nothing but gone down since I started talking in that direction. So you can play this, and you can see that your indicator or your trail would have not taken you out of that trade until right here at 29.30, and you got in at 29.60. So you made your 30 points, and that's pretty good. Now, I think we got maybe a little bit more to the downside, and then we probably will begin to head up, and then I'll re-engage this and see if that doesn't help us out a little bit in terms of turning that profitable. Humility. I think that if we, Graham, I don't use EMAs, they're all SMAs. So right now it's a 4, an 8, a 20, a 50, and a 200. And that's on a 2-minute chart. But then if I move to a 5-minute chart, it's going to be the same. If I move to a 30-minute chart, it's going to be the same. So as you develop your larger picture for any particular day, you've got to take a look and see where your 200, your 50, your 20, some people use a 10, your 4, and your 8 are, and where they're positioned. And again, because there are algorithms that are also in play that use moving averages, and those moving averages might be triggered on an hourly chart, and you're wondering, what the heck? What caused that? When you're thinking a market's going to continue to go in a particular direction, boom, it touched it, and that produced sells. Or it broke through it, and that produces buys. So could I explain crude with momentum and stochastics? Yes, I will, Mark, and I'll try to put that in a little bit, and I'll try to remember that. Okay, so looks like we might have a little bit decent part of a rally here. Now, I just want to finish up the humility. Humility to me came about because I did have a trade room a few years back, and in that trade room, we're basically just a small group of hardworking folks, and we were trading crude, the S&P, and the YM primarily, and we focused on trading. So we focus on signals, market awareness, and personal awareness. And these are all important factors. When any of the three traits get skewed, it takes additional knowledge to know when to hold them, when to fold, or when to reverse. And I have to tell you that when something, one part of your equation gets skewed, whether that's the market signals, your market awareness, or your personal awareness. So this trade is actually going to be a killer. But I'm going to buy here, and I bet you it shows up over there. I got in, but I don't want that stop there. But you can see my stop went in, and that was and now it's back. So, but I'm a no lose situation, not going to make 100, but if it swings back down, I'll at least get that. And if it swings back up, my stop will go with it. Okay, boom. So this actually was on this being taken out. So if I say flatten, I think it did already. Oh, and see, I've already reached my maximum loss, so we're not going to worry about that. I will go and reset that. So I had set a loss on that particular index, and I actually did it to myself. So again, humility, right? I wanted to see if it would work. I took my stop away. There is why you don't do it. And by the way, these are live trades. But again, if you're traded with a small account, it's really, really difficult, and you can't. It just is too hard. So I'm going to reset this and see if I can't then go into my live NASDAQ chart and get this going. And come on, it's taking forever. Well, close it. There you go. Let me go over here, and I'm going to put this down here and reset it, and let's get it going again. So we're still in this little choppiness, and I think we go up a little bit from here. So once this chart gets open, we'll see. And so anyway, so as I was saying, is that we more often than not, we need to understand our opponent. And we also need to understand there are many, many, many opponents on the other side of all of this trading. And so when you, and I'm not trying to drive any nails under anybody's fingers here, but the level of trading experience, or maybe better said, the level of understanding of how to actually trade appears to be lacking at times. As an older trader, I always thought that, well, there's times when you come in as a buyer and you pair off with the sellers and it puts up one trade. In electronic trading, that doesn't exist. Sometimes they'll come in and get paired off, but these are being entered electronically. So it's not one specialist standing somewhere going like, well, let's pull my buyers and sellers together. We'll decide on a price and print. That doesn't happen. So you got to go with it. You got to go with it. When a buyer comes in and they've got a whole bunch to do, and I'm going to sell this and just see, well, move too fast. So that's the other thing. You can enter at the market, or you can enter by saying buy the bid or buy the ask, et cetera, et cetera. But this time, if it goes down, I wish that would stop. It's a totally different system that I couldn't get shut off, and I apologize. So what the thing about humility is right here. You just saw that I was down $1,500. Well, I'll tell you why that happened. It happened because I thought, okay, the market should swing and go back up. And in turn, it didn't. And so I decided to step in and do the work of my algorithm for me. My algorithm would have gone short way before I turned it off. So you learn your lessons. And that, friends, is a lesson in humility, because it has nothing to say whether I'm a good or a bad trader. I just made a bad decision at that moment. Be able to accept your good decisions and your bad decisions when you're trading. But if you have a trading plan, you will learn very quickly not to move away from it. You got to stick to your plan, because you designed it with some specific things in mind. What your limitations are, what your pain threshold is. I don't think anybody wants to watch a trade go $1,000 against them, particularly if you're trading a small account. Having good risk management, very, very important. So putting all that together, that's how I came up with my algorithm. And that's how I basically came up with my multipliers. So my ATR, I feel that the ATR is a very good tool to use for stops, because it trails and it goes with me. Now, maybe yours doesn't, and so you're going to have to just move it up. And if that's the case, I have heard that quite often when you're really, the move is underway, a lot of people like to use the moving averages to, in this case, these moving averages are still pointing down. So you would tend to say that I'm going to continue to be short. And which case, if you were, there's your stop. On this short order, your stop would be right here. You're going to trail with the your lowest moving average, whether that's a 10, a 5, an 8, whatever it happens to be, that's where you're going to put your stop, because that will track the move closer and also be the first to be taken out when the market decides to turn and go in the other direction. So I also want to just share a little bit about what people are asking, and we see if we can get somewhere. Yeah, it is interesting to watch it live. And it moves really fast. And this particular time of the day is why it moves. So I'm going to wait. If this takes us out, then we should get a nice little rise. And it kind of is that time of day where we see buyers move into the market. So we saw the sellers, then we see the buyers. So let's buy it and see if we get where we need. We can make a little bit of money here. And well, my stop should be there, and I'll have to, but I think I might let it go just a little bit. I will put my stop down here, but now we're making money. See if we can get a little bit out of this. If anything, it should get back up to here. So if it doesn't, we'll get out and go with the short. So being able to turn on a dime as well, because you don't have an opinion. So of course we want to make money on our trades. But I like to try, as you're going to hear a million times, I like to have, see, this is going to show my whole loss from over there. I like to have my, whatever's going to say, it'll come back. I am sorry to say. But I like to have my stops in tune to better facilitate what I'm doing. Right now, I got out because I'm trying to demonstrate what's going on. So whatever system you use, you have to set it up and have it all working beforehand. Now, for those that are really starting with a very small account, say $5,000, $10,000, please understand that your competition is trading with
millions of dollars.
And when they come in to the NASDAQ, for example, and the markets are thin and they're bouncing around all day long, up, down, up, down. And they're being pushed by somebody saying, well, I just did this big basket of stock and now I have to do the other side of the trade. And you know, this is going to kill me. So they come in with 250 or 100 futures. That's going to move the market. And here you can see this market has moved $20. That low, which was a minute ago, to that high. And now it's going to try to start down. But I wouldn't take that. Again, now I want to talk about pattern. If you recognize a pattern, this was not a good place to take a short. This was the right place to take the long. And then you just let it go. This was not, I would not have gotten out. Although if you're running a stop that is going to actually track, it would have gotten you out there, not necessarily gotten short. But then if you were looking to get back long, then you got back long here. Now, there are other methodologies where you are realizing that we should rally for a while. So you can see that here, my algorithm got long at 94.1675. It's in a losing trade right now. But if I was doing this here, I might add to that trade. So I'd come in here and add to it. But I already have two contracts, so I would leave it alone. But say I'm trading one contract, it dips down. My expectation is still that it's going to go higher. I would buy and add to it to lower my cost. And of course, trading two contracts, you're now trading for $10 a tick versus $5 a tick. So what I was going to getting into talking about, an inverse head and shoulders. Well, yeah, if that's a pattern that you follow, Graham, that would be something that you would pay attention to. And because you've studied it and you know what the implications are of when that pattern is complete, the direction where it would go. So you have to be strong enough to actually trade on it. If you're comfortable with seeing it and you're comfortable with what the markets normally will do coming out of an inverse head and shoulders, then you act on it. And again, using your own risk, your own risk profile. No, they're not pivot points. I've had pivot points, but I don't like them. And so other people will use them and they make it easier. But I'm going to go ahead and short that. And let's see if we can't make a little money on the downside. Because the pattern wise is telling me we probably should put another move down. And I can measure that real quick. $13 is maybe down to 94.02. And it didn't. So it went and took me out. And it may be, well, we're going to let it go. See? So that's why this 2 minute helps me out a lot more than my 4/20/10. This one said, no, you're not getting short. The little basis under the candles. You mean this particular line, Jason? That's the ATR trail. That's my trail indicator, if that's what you're referring to. So if when it goes from, pivot, I see what you're saying. No, they're not necessarily pivot points, but kind of, but you can see right here that didn't work. So, and I don't know if I'm still in a position because these two are linked to the same account. Not the smartest thing to do. but I'm going to, see, it already did. Oh, no, it didn't. Okay. So we made $120 here. I put this in a different account. So basically what that told me when I went into short it, thinking that I would come down, working with a stop, as soon as that stop got taken out, it had been like, no, we're going up. And lo and behold, it did. So what happens often, if you don't have a stop, you're still stuck on, we're going down. We got to go down. We got to finish a pattern. And meanwhile, look what happens. It goes up an additional $9. If you're trading one lot in the S&P, nine S&P dollars times 20. So you're going to be down $180 real quick. And if you're trading more than one contract, it's not real difficult to do that math. I have to make sure because this all goes so fast. I have to make sure that we've got our time. So to kind of wrap it up, folks. Trading futures is a business. And so have a business plan. Have a plan on how you're going to trade. Have an idea of what your indicators do. So how to use them. So I always recommend, there are people that use Bollinger Bands. There's people that use GAN lines. There are people that use a point and figure chart. And those are all good things to use. But you really have to learn that you have to be able to, I'm going to go over and switch my chart so I can answer a question. Let me go there. And you have to be able to have it all set up. So you really need to learn everything that you can about that indicator. If it interests you, then by all means, use it. So boom. Okay. Just why did it switch back? No, it's in crude. Please let it be in crude. Okay. Now we have the crude chart up. And Mark was asking me on explaining the crude with the momentum and stochastics. What I try to determine is what are the strength? What's the strength of the selling? What's the strength of the buying? So right now, and again, I can't see them here. We can see here that this is telling us maybe it's going to turn. So it registered that momentum, but now it looks like it might turn. And if it does and hits that, then that's going to produce more momentum to the downside. And look what it did. See what it did? Boom. So you go ahead and enter. You take that trade, but you've got to stop. And because this is a very short-term chart, this can move to oversold real quick, real quick. 210.5 chart on the Unirenco chart, very, very short. Those are ticks, not necessarily minutes. Those are ticks. So this whole chart can change. But I would think on pattern that we probably get below 92, in which case I'm going to look. So this, we got in at 34. I want to buy at 90. I'll take that 10. I'll take the dollar and crude prices, and because it's going to be $100 on a trade because crude oil is $10 a tick. So I like to use that. And that's how I would use it. When we see here, that's going to be here. See, all the way up here, this thing was topping out at overbought. Can a market remain overbought, particularly these little small time frames? Yes. This could just go flat straight across all the way. But then you're going to realize that the momentum, and I mean, still, this thing's going up and up and up and up and up. It's driven by something else, particularly in crude oil. It might have been, say, for example, like yesterday was the EIA, which is the supply and demand numbers that they all trade on and are very important right now. I would not pay that close of attention until I really saw it move versus, well, it's overbought. I'm going to start selling it because it could stay overbought for another minute. It could stay overbought for two more dollars and then you've just blown yourself out. So, but when I see it shift and move, I'm going to take that hit, that short there. And that was 34.36. It came all the way down. You got at least your $100 on a trade. I think that's a good starting point, by the way, $100 on a trade. And then, but would I have bought it? Maybe, because it was showing me that it was oversold, but you can see it got up and it failed. That helps you. So here you would have probably at least gotten out, maybe break even, and then saw that it's going to come down and break, and then you're going to go short again. That was a big one. So you can learn how to do it, but you got to learn everything you can about that indicator and how it is applied to this market. You can use that same indicator on a 2-minute chart, which is right here on our NASDAQ chart. Yes, Graham, me too. I really do love Renko, but I use Unirenkos and I like them a little bit better than the plain old Renko chart. They are clean. You are right. They are clean, but they switch very, very quickly. So I'm going to see if we can get this right this time. So it should. Let's see. I mean, if it goes up, it just means that I'm out of tune and it just might. Now, I also, with mine, I don't know if yours, but see, I can move my stop down because my stop's not moving fast enough. And you can see how quickly it goes down and comes back. Now, maybe I was too early because it's going to slide back down, but you never know. I got to wrap it up here in a minute. So I want to make sure that I answered everybody's questions this morning. There's so much more to say. And what I can tell you is that I had a trade room. I don't anymore. I do focus on my trading, but I'm beginning to write again, and I write and then post on logicalsignals.com. And so if you have an interest on just daily analysis on the futures markets, and basically it's kind of my observations on what I saw, and again, writing about the human factor, writing about algorithms, writing about how do we gauge ourselves on a day-to-day basis? Are we really in a sound mind to go in and trade, or am I kind of on the edge? Am I nervous? Am I not? I mean, taking a personal inventory every morning is important and it's very, very helpful to you. So a lot of things to really discuss in 55 minutes. It's really hard. And I just proved that to myself. But I hope that essentially you can see some of the basics. And again, if I wasn't trying to demonstrate, of course, it would have been much more focus on the number one, leaving my algorithm alone and letting it do its work. And number two, just seeing where the markets are going to be traveling around. So I'm afraid that's it for me. We got to get ready for the next show. I thank